Hello, fellow paranormal aficionados. Welcome back to Haunted 518. I am so incredibly excited today. We are dedicating a full episode to the wonderful establishment in the Adirondacks called Bark Eater Chocolates, and I have an amazing guest with me today. Owner Deb Morris. She is the owner with her husband Jim and her daughter Sarah. Welcome, Deb. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Julie?
Good. Thank you so much for taking time to chat with our listeners. I love the episodes that I have guests on, and I'm just so excited to be able to talk to you about not only the paranormal that happens there, but also the delicious concoctions that you guys make and offer to the community. So I figured I'd start off with, do you want to just tell our listeners where can they find you online and social media, and where are you located in the Adirondacks?
Absolutely. So we have a building, a factory, and a store in North Creek, New York. So Bark Eater Chocolates factory and store is in North Creek, which is, for those of you who may not know what North Creek is, we are right near Gore Mountain, and we are about 25 minutes north of Lake George. Aside from that, we wholesale a lot of our chocolates. So all over the 518, you can buy our chocolate bars, peanut butter cups, bark, etc., in various locations. Price Chopper's, Hannaford. We're in, you know, some co-ops like Honest Weight, delis like Pellegrino's. Anyway, we're all over the place locally. So, and then if you want to go online, you can go online. You can check us out. And of course, you can book a haunted chocolate making session up here in the Adirondacks too.
Oh, that is so cool. I didn't even realize that you offered that. That is so awesome. You can do it in like groups. Several people can do the chocolate making experience.
Yes, we offer two. One ghost and one with the ghost. Oh. So we have up to eight people in a group. We do public and private. So for the public tours, maybe it's just you and a friend and you want to sign on to something where there'll be other people. And then for the private ones, we just ask that you have a group of four or more.
Oh, cool.
And we'll find a time to fit you in. And yes, the haunted talks all about our ghosts, but also the real deep history of the building. It's a 150-year-old building. And then you get to make chocolate ghosts at the end.
Oh, that's awesome. And what is your Instagram and your website? Where can listeners find you?
We're at barkeaterchocolates.com, and our Facebook, Instagram profile is Bark Eater Chocolates.
Awesome. Yeah, I highly recommend everybody head over to there and follow them. It's awesome to be able to see what they're creating and what's out there, what delicious concoctions they have available. And speaking of that, I wanted to just talk about, so it was my first time there. I went up for Bark Eater hosts events called Amateur Ghost Hunting Fireside Experiences, and Deb was so kind to offer that I come up a few weeks ago and spend some time, be able to talk to the people that were there and get to kind of, you know, experience the beautiful establishment. So I wanted to talk about what I purchased and ate before we get into the spooky part, because it was, listeners, when I tell you it was the best chocolate I've had in my life, I'm not lying. And I'm very picky. I usually don't eat much chocolate because of the milk content in it. And so I just was beyond blown away. So I went in there thinking, I'll just grab a chocolate bar. And then I saw these flavors that caught my eye of these truffles. And I just wanted to let the listeners know, I'm pretty sure I had 6 or 7 truffles. One was margarita, which was ridiculous. Another one was strawberry shortcake. And you had said that was a summer flavor, correct?
Both of those are soft flavors.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. And then I had the key lime. Was it key lime?
Key lime pie.
Oh, man. That was ridiculous also. And then I had, it wasn't a truffle, but I think it was like a cup. It was a dark chocolate sea salt caramel cup. Ridiculous. It was so good. And then I had 2 margaritas. I brought 2 margaritas home with me, and I was just trying to think of any. What other summer flavors do you have right now?
So the summer flavors that are winding down, pina colada, Bahama Mama, rum
butter.
Ooh. Did you have those?
I think I had the pina colada. That's right. And then we had talked about earlier, you have fall flavors coming. I didn't realize you did rotational flavors. So that's awesome. What flavors do you have coming up for the fall?
So our chocolatiers have already been making them, and they have already been put in our store because
oh my gosh,
we're there. We're there. So great. We have for truffles, pumpkin pie, cider donut, pecan pie. Whoa. And we also showcase our maple cream, which is year-round, but it's very fall, so we put it with our fall collection.
Oh, yeah.
But then we go way beyond that. We do, we have 6 standard flavors of peanut butter cups, grown-up peanut butter cups, but we do seasonal as well. So we just put out the autumn spice peanut butter cup. And then we have 9 standard flavors of chocolate bark, but of course, we always add a different one per season. So we have the pumpkin pie bark out now. That's ridiculously popular.
Whoa.
And of course, even our hot cocos, we have, I mean, we have to go into the pumpkin spice. It's just what we do.
It's yeah.
What everybody does. But everybody loves it from, you know, this time until November. We go deep. So yeah, we're good with fall. Fall is good.
I love that. I know that I also grabbed when I was there, you were kind enough, you gave me a maple bar, a maple chocolate bar, and that was crazy good. And then I think there was a cherry chocolate, and then I forget, there was another flavor also. They, no matter what you have, basically, listeners, is what I'm saying, is you can't go wrong. Like, get online and order some or head up there. It's so... The building itself is really evocative of the Adirondacks, and the setting is so beautiful. So I suggest, if you can, take a drive up there, see the establishment, and who knows, maybe you'll have a little bit of a spooky interaction while you're there, but definitely check them out. One last question related to the food. Do you have a favorite flavor? Could you pick one, a favorite thing?
So people ask that all the time, and I say, ask me per category. Don't ask me about the favorite in the whole building.
Yeah.
That's just impossible.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. But for our peanut butter cups, I love either dark or milk. I'm not at all, discriminatory. But with sea salt, I have to have one with sea salt. That is
so good.
For. As far as the barks go, I really do love the pumpkin bark. And even though we only put it out twice or 2 months out of the year, I really love it. Chocolate bar, I'll tell you, our number one best-selling chocolate bar, which you didn't even get, I don't think, is a dark chocolate sea salt downhill dark cider bar.
Ooh.
It's far away, can't keep it in stock. It's always the first to go in a store. That's crazy good. If you liked the caramel salt,
you'd
like that chocolate bar.
Oh, heck yeah, I'll put that on my list for sure. Is amazing. And especially with the holidays coming up, it's like, that is an excellent... an excellent gift to give to people. You just can't go wrong. So thank you so much for kind of sharing a little bit about what you make up there and all the delicious things you have to offer the community. So I wanted to just talk about, I want to make sure our listeners know you do these events called Amateur Ghost Hunting Fireside Experiences, which I was so honored to be a part of. Do you want to just talk about, like, how often do you do them? Are they a summer thing, a summer fall thing? Is it every year? Was it just this year? Like, tell our listeners kind of what they're about.
We do the amateur ghost hunting events just a few times in the summer / fall. We started it last year, and it was very good last year. It was really popular. But this year we added a twist where each time there'll be another paranormal investigator there to lead us, so we're not just kind of doing it on our own. So what happens is we have a little bonfire, and we max out at about 25 people. Juliana, you've been to our place. You know it's quite small. You know putting 25 people in a room or even on our driveway gets tight, and then it's also really hard to get any information if you're trying to use the equipment. So 25 is even that's a lot, but we do sell out each time, so we let 25 in, or 28 might have been the night you were there. And we have a team. So the night you went, we had the team from Tri-City New York Paranormal. And then we just did one last week. We had Orange County New York Paranormal.
Cool.
Although I always get the New York and Paranormal switch. So Orange County Paranormal New York. They did some great job. They collect evidence, but they also let everybody use the equipment. And they guide people who are here and show them how to do it. And we always get something. It's just a matter of what are we going to get. It's never consistent every time. And then coming up, we have one more coming up, and that is September 24th. It's already pretty full. We still have slots available.
Okay.
But that one is really great. We have paranormal investigator and haunted Adirondacks author Dennis Webster. That's how I say it, but he actually has written dozens of books. Haunted Utica, Haunted I don't know, all these different regions, Mohawk Valley, and he's done a lot of them. So he's pretty well known, and that's why I think people are booking up quickly. But we have fun. We have hot chocolate, s'mores cups. You get to go in places in our building that we don't normally let people go to. And we tell ghost stories, which is fun. And it's a Q&A, and it's open. And we always say it's 90 minutes. But the reality is, it's about 2.5 hours.
Yep, that was pretty much my experience when I was there that night. And it's at like twilight as the sun goes down pretty much. So it really is such a beautiful setting to be fireside, hear a little bit. And then it's just so generous and kind that you open your doors to the public like that and allow people to, you know, poke around and get impressions and feel the space and see if they can sense anything. And then on top of that, to have equipment, shared equipment to use for these guests that are coming and these guest investigative teams. That's just incredible that you guys are offering that. So big thank you, because I appreciate that. I always like to say that Haunted 518 ultimately is a platform to say thank you to the people in the community that are doing these amazing things, and you're honoring the history of the establishment, of the building, of the land. It was such a pleasure that night. I learned so much about who owned this place, who lived there, who, you know, day in and day out walked around these premises. So I really encourage everyone, the few slots that are left, if it sounds interesting, which I don't know how you can't think it sounds interesting, snag those tickets, and then keep an eye out for next year if it fills up, because you learn a lot at these events. So I really, really appreciated my time there especially. And then on that note, I just wanted to kind of pass you the mic, and any stories you want to tell, any experiences. When I was up there, it was so great because you not only shared personal stories and the history of the building, but you showed us videos and clips of things you had caught. So it was really, really cool. So I just wanted to kind of pass the microphone over to you and say, is there anything about the place you'd like to talk about, something that happened to you there, or one of your family members, maybe an employee or one of your patrons that have come there, or even just in general, like, do you have any ghost stories you want to talk about? Maybe it didn't even happen at Bark Eater, but just in general, like, so anything spooky you want to share?
Well, I have to say that the bulk of the paranormal activity has happened at Bark Eater. I can't say that I have a whole lot from the rest of my life, which is how I knew something was very strange.
Oh, wow.
Here. And I would say it all began. So we've been in business since 2008. Bark Eater Chocolates needed to move to a bigger facility. We were renting at the time, and this house was a house that had become available in 2013. We knew the owner. He and his wife still live in the area, so it's not like they disappeared. It was simply that they were empty nesters and didn't need the space, so we bought it from them. I didn't know much about the building at all, except that he lived here with his family and that he lived here as a boy, so his parents owned it prior to that. After that, I didn't know anything, nor did I care. I just wanted to make sure it passed inspection, that we can have a store, and that we can run a business, and it was going to be sufficient. Now, you know, when you move into a building from the 1880s, of course there are challenges, like with electric and plumbing, and you have to do a lot of you know, you have to do a lot of work over the years, which is fine. We went into it with our eyes open. But I would say all that we were kind of taking into account when we purchased the building, and did not for a minute consider anybody else who might have still been living here from the past. So my first encounter happened just 2 weeks after we were here. We did not have a store yet. It would take us a couple of months to open that store. So part of the store right now, where you can go in and watch the video, see some educational items about how chocolate is made. That part we call our exhibit room, and that's in the very beginning was just an empty room that we made into our office, which was we just had one long table, and my husband and I would throw our laptops on said table. But for one day, 2 weeks after we moved in here, we were making chocolate, but there wasn't a full staff. So I was in here alone for the first time, and I was at my computer, and I don't recall exactly what I was working on, except that I heard the front door open and close. Oh. I heard footsteps leading to the back, which is our production room, and I heard a lot of banging. Wow. Now, this was not unusual. We have a chocolatier. I assumed she had walked in. I assumed she started breaking up the chocolate, which would account for the banging. Yeah. The only thing that really bothered me is that she had two have walked very close to my office door and not even said hi or announced herself. And this went on for about 5 minutes, the banging, the noise. So I stood up and I went out right outside the door of my office and realized that the building was actually still dark. And
wow.
I no longer heard any sounds or any banging. So I look down the hallway, I listen, I look out the window. I see my car, I do not see her car. So I'm really, really perplexed, and I stand there for a while. You know, in my mind, I was standing there for probably an hour. The reality was, it was probably 2 or 3 minutes. And then her car came in. So I waited for her, and she walked in the door, and I accosted her, because I had to know what happened. I didn't once think I was imagining things, or I must have heard something from outside. I really heard all these sounds. They were very loud, and they were very, very much in the building. So when I asked her what had happened, you know, had she come in real quick, done something, got the machines going, and ran out for a reason, she looked as surprised as I was, you know, to see her pulling in. And she said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm just coming in for the first time.
Wow.
So I explained to her what I had heard, the door opening, closing, the footsteps, and the banging was very persistent. And she just kind of sat there for a minute and just said, oh, finally, now you've heard it too. So she had been hearing these noises when she was alone, but hadn't said anything.
Wow.
This would continue for years. And new employees come in. We don't say anything. Because at first, we really just thought we were kind of losing our minds. But when new employees would start, it would take them a couple weeks. And they would say, you know, I think this place is haunted. I keep hearing footsteps and doors closing and banging. And it did prompt us to do an investigation of our own, not a paranormal investigation, but a real deep dive into the research. And we uncovered a lot of stuff. And there are many colorful people who lived here. And I feel like we've gotten so deep into their history that we know each and every one of them personally. We probably do, because they're probably still here. And we realized that, you know, and yes, you had mentioned, do customers come in? Yes, there are customers who come in who knew the previous owners or their parents and say unequivocally, this place is haunted, right?
Wow.
And we have a few of those testimonies on one of our videos, and we just, the longer we go, the more information we get, the more people we talk to, the more things we learn. I never stop learning about the building. I will never miss an opportunity to reach out to somebody who had a connection to a family here who gives me even more,
wow.
sheds more light on it. So it's really, really interesting. I just want to make clear, though, in no way, shape, or form have we ever felt like there was anything bad or evil here.
Mm.
In previous investigations, we've had several now. The one theme that comes up often is it's a protective group, and there's more than one. We don't know if they're all related to each other.
Oh, wow.
They're protective of us. They love chocolate, and they like watching us work.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I love that. Yeah, speaking of just the people that had been there before, the history of the house. That's why I really encourage people come to these fireside experiences, because what I learned that night was so utterly fascinating and sad. And the fact that each and every one of you took time of the family, your husband, your daughter, and you took time to talk to me about, you know, how you felt in the house and what surprised you about the history, about these people that had lived there. And then you were so kind, you allowed, I brought two of my friends with me who, one of them is a psychic medium, and they were kind of walking around the house doing their thing, and you were so kind, you brought them upstairs, and then I joined both of you. And for me, just there was something so endearing about the energy that was there, because I could feel it, and I know my friends could. And the maybe more quieter parts of the house upstairs, I felt like there was one room you had said used to be a nursery, I believe. And that whole area was just, it felt very palpable for me in there. And so, but like you said, nothing malevolent, nothing evil. It felt like you were coexisting. And that's so awesome that they are happy with what you're doing with the house and with the space. And I don't think that's any coincidence that they're at ease, because you're not only using the space happily, but you're also honoring them by knowing who, finding out who they are, figuring out, you know, what they did in their lifetimes, what the house was like. So So I think that's just really, really wonderful that you're able to do that. So is there any part of the house that you just feel more active? Like you walk into it, is there a favorite area for you personally, or is it just all over that you kind of feel this energy, or depends on the day kind of thing? Or is there a specific room or anything that you just like feel them more so?
I would say that most of the activity comes from the original part of the house, so the part that was built in the 1800s.
That makes sense.
There are parts of the house that were built a long time ago or added on, and they are also somewhat active. But anything that was put in, we didn't put any extra rooms on per se, but anything was put in by the most recent family, there's very little, if no activity. If we hear something in there, it's coming from one of the other parts of the house. My daughter will tell you that the room that you felt had the biggest presence is also the room she finds the biggest presence.
Interesting.
She and a friend many years ago spent the night in that area, the area that is now our office, and basically a storage area for the office where the nursery was. And the friend kept trying to take photos all night and can take it anywhere in the house, including the bathroom. But she could not take it in one corner of this room, no matter how many times she tried. And if she did manage to snap a camera, and this isn't a cell phone, this is an actual camera, it was always blurry. It was completely out of focus every single time. So they feel a bigger presence. I'm up here, you know, in the office every day. I don't feel anything anymore. But I would have to say that I feel like I'm so used to things, and they're kind of used to me.
Yeah.
That I don't typically get spooked, freaked out, or even feel an energy anymore.
Yeah.
But I know other people do, so that's how I know we're still active. You know, the last fireside, the one we did last week, not the one you were at, we were all crammed, like I said, 25 people in the store. And we had the lights out, and our Dan from Orange County Paranormal, he had something going, and I do forget what it was called, but we had an instance outside where a young lady who grew up in this area, she's still fairly young, I believe she's an older teenager now, raised her hand and said when she was younger, every time they would drive by our building, she would see a family outside playing.
Oh my
goodness. And she described, I asked her to describe each one of them, and she described to a T a family with the most scandalous history.
Oh my goodness.
She described, not necessarily, she didn't go into how old she thought they were, but by height, by guessing who was older than the other, hair color, and general area that they were always in whenever she would drive by. I knew exactly who she was talking about. An older girl, teenage girl, a younger boy, and what appeared to be a mother. And she did describe them to a T. Now, remember, I've done a lot of research. I've seen photos or renderings or descriptions. So I know she had it spot on. I did not lead her in any way.
Wow.
Anyway, the point is, when we came inside and started asking questions, Dan said, we have, you know, if you want one person to go upstairs to talk to you, tell us who that person is. And 25 people heard her name.
Whoa.
So she went upstairs with him. And while I can't say they got more answers necessarily, all his equipment started spiking when they went upstairs, just the two of them. Now, we had all been going upstairs, and there was no spike like the one where she walked up the stairs.
Whoa.
That was pretty interesting. But that doesn't mean that I necessarily felt anything there.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. And I remember that night I had the pleasure when I was there at the fireside experience, your daughter told that story, and it was so wonderful to hear her share that experience. And it was really fascinating because not even, I would say 30 minutes prior. So when I, listeners, when I got there, Tri-City Paranormal was the investigative team there that night. I had the pleasure of sitting down with two of their team members and doing an interview for about a half hour, which you'll hear actually after this in this episode, which is great. And so everybody was outside, and it was just the three of us in the house, and we were downstairs, and I always have my recording equipment on my phone, and the girls had, I believe it was like a spirit box or an app, like a ghost talker going also, but they had it stopped. And at the same time, I kept trying to record my phone on my phone and through the software that I use to create Haunted 518, and it just wouldn't work. It kept recording it and then deleting it and recording it and deleting it. I told them, I said, I'm so sorry, I have to make a start like again and again. And they were laughing, but during that same time, this crazy sound started coming out of the app on her phone. And I actually thought it was, she was holding it up, and while I was trying to figure out what was going on and I was apologizing for this technical malfunction, and one of the girls was kind of, you know, looking at me saying, no, that's fine. The other one had her phone and she was looking perplexed, and she was distracted because this noise was coming out of it. And I thought it was like a YouTube video that had just played and she was just, you know, trying to stop it. And she just looked at me straight in the eye and said, this is not on, it's not turned on, and there's something coming through this box. And it wasn't words, but it sounded like a stream of almost hums or mumbles, kind of. It was going, and it was active, and it was loud. And so I was so distracted by what was happening on my phone, and likewise her, that when we both got it to, like, either hers to stop or mine to work, we looked at each other and we said, wait, did that just really happen at the same time? So the technical malfunction, it was right by the cash register. That was just fascinating. We then moved into the kitchen area and did our the interview. But that was just really crazy to just, I hadn't even been there for maybe 5 minutes, and to have something like that happen. And it was the same thing. The girl said, that's never happened before, so that's really wild. So I just thought it was really cool, and I wanted to make sure I shared that with everyone also. But yeah, I just think this is so awesome, and thank you so incredibly much for taking the time. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners before we go? I just always like to reiterate the website. It's barkeaterchocolates.com, correct?
And that is correct.
Perfect. And Barkeater Chocolates on Instagram and Facebook. So definitely give them a follow. But yeah, is there basically, I always like to just, my last question to my guests are, is there anything else you'd like to add about, that you'd like the listeners to know about? Anything paranormal? Anything about Barkeaters? Anything Barkeater? Anything you'd like to add before we wrap it up?
I'll just tell you one more story.
Yeah.
Because you had mentioned this sort of humming music. So mm-hmm. We have a doorbell chime, I guess you would call it. It's where it's extremely low tech. Bought it on clearance, I don't know, $10, maybe 6 or 7 years ago. And there's what looks like a doorbell, but it doesn't depress. You don't actually press it, but you put it on the inside of your door. And then on the other side, like a sensor, so that when the door opens, we have a little plug-in speaker in the back. We can hear somebody coming in to our store.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a doorbell. So we know, oh, there's a customer, go see them. And we've had it for a very, very long time. I've never changed the batteries. I don't even know how to change the batteries. It's literally like you stick it with double-sided tape onto your door. This is how low-tech. There's no app.
Oh my gosh.
There's nothing at all remotely technologically advanced about this thing. And it will work flawlessly for like a few months, and then it won't work for, I don't know, a couple of weeks, and then it just starts working again. Okay, fine, it's old, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But the thing we have never been able to figure out is why every so often, with no discernible pattern whatsoever, it will play a Christmas song.
Oh my gosh.
And so Gary at Tri-City said, start logging it when it happens. So
that's interesting.
One of our employees is very, very good about logging it. And it played like on August 13th twice, and it played on the 2nd and 3rd. And he said, just keep doing it for a while and see if there's any pattern, or see if it's just particularly one time of year, maybe one time a day. And we don't have enough of a sample size yet, but I do find it interesting. We have this anomaly that shows up on our security camera. They're new cameras. They've been around for about 6 to 8 weeks, where at roughly the same time of day, between 7 and 7:30 p.m. after our store's closed, we get a hit. It usually, identifies it as motion and human. Mm. And it looks like light, but the light's in the form of a person and walking down our stairs. It lasts about 3 seconds. I've found it 4 times now. And whoa. I'm just trying to see if there's a correlation. I haven't found a correlation yet, but you know, on the day where the Christmas music played is also the day a light appeared on the stairs. So hopefully by next year, we'll have more information on that.
Not only do you have your hands full making chocolate, you also have your hands full documenting all of this. That's amazing. I know when I was there, you had showed me, you were kind enough to show me 2 of the 4. So it sounds like it's happened 2 more times since I was there, which was only a few weeks ago. And I mean, for me, that video, I saved it. I have it on my phone. And that video is like, it feels very figural, and it's right on the stairwell, and it's so interesting how similar it is, but there are tweaks that you can see it's different. So I was curious about, like, who is this? Is it maybe a residual spot where, or is it a spot, is it a routine where it's an intelligent haunting, an intelligent spirit, I should say, that that's just their routine, and they come down, and it just happens to be around the same time, or maybe it's just a residual thing happening. But it was really fascinating, I thought, to see. And if you, once you've gone to the property, if you haven't been there, you know that once you're closed, the way that is angled, there aren't like headlights coming in, there isn't anything that's causing that anomaly, or could have otherwise. So it's really fascinating. It's very ethereal looking, and it's quite beautiful actually to see something like that happening in that space. So that was really cool too. Thank you for showing me that. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And awesome. Dan at Orange County, he put it on his own editing software computer where it slows it down frame by frame. And then we went to the room and we tried to throw different shadows, you know, from different windows. The sun's not coming in at all at that time of day. And it definitely, because the other cameras don't go off, so it's definitely not somebody pulling into our driveway and turning around, or somebody walking up to the door. The 4 videos look identical, except for the fact that they're on 4 different days.
Yeah.
You can see maybe a little change in the room.
Slight change. Exactly.
And, but they look identical, and we've tried throwing the light. We've tried it. We were around the same time of day. It doesn't happen every day.
That's so wild.
And we could not find an explanation, and so we're going to keep looking and keep trying to figure it out and see if we can find any kind of discernible pattern.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing that you do need to do, like a 6-12 month kind of, you know, you're documenting it, sometimes even longer than that. So the fact that you guys are willing to take that on is, it's really awesome, because it's, I think it's, again, honoring who's ever in that space. So that's really, really great. And I just can't thank you enough. Is there anything else? I just always like to make sure my guests, if there's anything else you'd like to share, you're more than welcome to. But yeah, otherwise I'll make sure that I post, look out on our social media, on our Facebook listeners, look out. I'm going to put a link to Bark Eater Chocolates. I'll tag the Instagram so it's easy access, and check out these amazing flavors that they have, and definitely check out the last Fireside Experience. I'm so sorry, what was the date of the last one for this season?
September 24th, 6 o'clock with Dennis Webster.
Awesome. Okay, wonderful. That sounds great. And one last thing I just wanted to share with the listeners I thought was funny. The night that I was there, I did kind of walk around the premises with my friend who is a medium just to kind of get a feeling, but just a reminder, and it doesn't even cross my mind, it just made me laugh, you said don't go too close to the woods because of the bears. so if you do come check it out, don't go near the woods, listeners, because there's the
very
bears.
True. And as I say, come for the ghost, stay for the chocolate.
Exactly. Well, Deb, thank you so very much. Thank Jim and Sarah again for welcoming me with open arms. It was just such a wonderful experience. It won't be my last time that I come up there, not only to eat the chocolate, but spend time with you guys. It was really, really fantastic. And yeah, thanks again. I hope you have a great rest of your day. And I always say happy haunting to my listeners. So happy haunting.
Thank you. You too, Juliana.
Thank you. So I hope you guys enjoyed my chat with Deb. That was so much fun to be able to sit down and speak with her, especially after having gone up for the Fireside Experience, which was just so much fun to be able to meet her, her family, and hear everybody's stories and spend some time in that place and really get a feel for the energy of it. It was fascinating. So the next thing that I have for you, like I mentioned, I was lucky enough to be able to speak with two of the investigators from the paranormal team, Tri-City Paranormal. So I invite you to sit back and relax now and enjoy this interview with two awesome women from the team. And then we will regroup after that. Enjoy. So with us right now, we have two investigators from the Tri-City Paranormal Team. We have Karnan Keller and Rachel Lebo, and I have the pleasure of being able to sit down with them and pick their brains right now about what it's like to be a part of an investigative team, part of one of the basically founding teams in the area, in the capital region, for investigating all things paranormal. And just what it's like for them, what they're interested in, and you know, what experiences they've had. So welcome, ladies. Thank you so much for taking a minute to sit down with me.
Thanks for talking.
Yes, thank you.
I mean, I pretty much have a slew of questions, so I would love to know, I think first and foremost, before I even ask you about Tri-City Paranormal, what got you into the paranormal? Why are you fascinated with it? Did you have like a really crazy experience, or has it just always been something?
I've been sensitive. Psychic medium forever. So what that looks like for me growing up was, by the time, I think my first memory was, I had to have been maybe 4 or 5. The first memory I have of it, is I went to get out of bed and there was a full bodied apparition.
Whoa.
It was an older man. He was bald. Whoa. He had like metal framed glasses. He was sitting Indian style. Like I can see it like it was just today.
Wow.
You know? And it was really profound for me. And the house that we grew up in also was extremely active. Extremely active.
Wow.
Like people would come, skeptics, and then never want to step foot again.
God.
Like it was every single day, nonstop. And it's like, you know, now that we've gotten into like the paranormal, is it because we have sensitives in the house? Mm-hmm. You know, so it drew energy in.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it the house? Who knows? But really, that's what sparked my interest, was just from a young age, like wanting to understand more about all of it.
What town is that property located in?
That was in Latham, New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Apparently, a lot of houses in that area, though, have issues with paranormal activity. I guess it was built near an Indian burial ground. So a lot of, like, the neighborhood surrounding where we were, it was a bigger deal, hotspot.
Oh, that's fascinating. Yeah. I grew up, like, in Clifton Park, so the listeners know that, and it's just a stone's throw away from Latham, and I grew up on the very southern tip of Clifton Park, and I always felt like the closer you got to Latham, that southern area, there was a little bit more, I was always felt a little bit more energy on that southern area, and so that's really interesting that you say that.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for sharing. And Rachel, what about you?
For me, this is more, I guess, new. So I grew up in New Jersey, and then I moved here. I've been dating Gary for 5 years, so we were doing long distance forever, and I finally moved up here. And
cool.
I kind of didn't realize that I was empathic until, like, I guess the last 3 years.
Wow.
And I've always been sensitive, but I really didn't understand the word empath.
Yeah.
So then I kind of just, I started researching more, and then he was, like, telling me a little bit more about it, and then I started investigating with the team, and then had my first experience on the team, and
whoa.
I was like blown away.
Hooked.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so the first time I actually saw like a full body apparition at the Best House, I saw a young girl, and I felt like I saw her clear as day in a nightgown, long brown hair, and
goosebumps.
We were literally leaving for the night too, and I looked up and there she was staring at me at the window.
Whoa.
And then the next time we came, I started asking a little bit more. We had some confirmation with her there. So,
wow.
It had me hooked.
Oh, that's amazing. I know that my listeners, they know because I've talked about it a lot in past episodes, but I think that I didn't realize, I always felt things growing up, but there was no adult or even, you know, peer in my life that was able to nurture that or kind of understood what that meant. And so it was always just a part of me that I kind of shut off or just didn't even understand. And then I had, I always had experiences, but I had two pretty terrifying experiences, like long-term living in properties, like you said, that were just very active, like Karnan said. And finding a community like you have, I think, is super, super important. Haunted 518 is the product of me not knowing who to talk to about any of this and then just putting it out there. And that has just allowed me to do exactly this amazing, just sit down with amazing people and hear your story. So that's really, really cool. Do you have, so how long, Rachel, how long have you actually been, like, on the team? Is it 2 years?
It's been, like, 2.5.
Two and a half years.
We started together.
Okay. Oh, yep. Cool. Yeah. Okay, for both of you. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. So did you ever investigate prior to Tri-City? So I was going to ask, either of you have, like, a favorite investigation, like, Rachel, since you've joined Tri-City, or just Karnan in general, has there been, like, a location that stuck out to you as either super active or just like an awesome experience that was one of your favorites or both?
So for me, it has to be the house I grew up in.
Wow.
You know, that really was significant and it stuck with me. By the time that I grew old enough to research and start learning about investigating and putting that together with what I was feeling, we moved.
Okay.
So, like, that has been a dream of mine to try to get to that place.
Yeah.
But it's a private residence.
Yeah.
You know, so it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I'd have to say my favorite location to investigate now would probably be the Best House.
Oh,
yep,
cool.
It's the Dr. C Best House in Middleburg.
Yeah, I have covered that briefly in a few episodes, which is just a... It's a beautiful house unto itself, and then fascinating little history and lore associated with it. So
you have not
investigated. That's like a bucket list, or have you?
The Best House.
Yeah.
We investigated regularly.
Oh,
yes.
Oh wow! Oh
yeah.
Cool!
Yeah.
Wow!
Extremely active location.
Yes.
It's a mixed bag. Paranormal.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
One of the two places that I had on the long term interactions with. Same thing. It's a private residence, and now so many years have passed. I wish I could bring people back, or now the amazing teams that I've met and had the pleasure, like you guys, to talk to. I would love to say, like, I wish I could bring you right over. It was out in New Hampshire, but it was a crazy location. But Rachel, what about you? Was there a favorite same place, or
it has to be
say.
The Best House? We've had like just so many crazy experiences there, like from the highs to the lows. There's been negatives. Energies, there's been positive, so
yeah, it all depends on like the day.
Yeah,
you know, it also depends on like the vibes of the people that are there for that day.
Yeah,
you know, as
sense.
To what comes out.
Wow.
It's a mixed bag.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So speaking of highs and lows, has there been, I mean, even before you started investigating, kind of started coming into understanding what all this meant, did you have like have you ever experienced a really dark energy? And if you have, what do you do about it? Do you guys, before investigation, protect yourself in any way, if you'd like to share?
Yeah.
Like, speaking of highs and lows, I was thinking...
So, just to give my two cents on negative energies, I think that how people handle them, it's going to be personal for each person. When it comes to the paranormal, intent and belief are everything.
Mm.
So, if somebody feels like there's a negative energy, and again, what does negative mean? You know, what does that even mean? You know, because if you go into an investigation, being biased with a religion and carrying that in your investigation, you're more prone to like opening up things like, oh, there's something demonic here. What is demonic?
Yeah.
You know, who knows? If they were a-holes in real life, they're going to be in the afterlife. Like, it is what it is. But so negative is like personal for everybody.
Interesting.
And how you handle negative energies, again, is personal for everybody.
Yeah.
So for me, I don't really believe that anything can attach to me. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not as naive to think that it's not possible and that I know all, because I don't. Nobody even can scratch the tip of paranormal.
Yeah.
You know, we just don't know. But that is my belief. is that when I go into a place that I am holding a strong enough energy that I will not allow it, you know? So therefore, it's not going to. That's my belief. That's my intent leaving. Cut the cord, be done with it. But we have, like, in the moment experience something negative, whatever it was at the best house. And it really was a matter of, like, stepping out, recouping. You know what I'm saying? Like, cutting that tie. Like, but,
You know, I don't think you could have said it any better. And weirdly, the last few weeks I've been kind of, my mind has just been on the idea of, well, the more fear you have, the worse whatever's in your house.
It snowballs.
The more active it's going to be. And I've been thinking about that, how that amplifies it.
So I don't know if you've heard of, I don't know if you've heard of, like, they've had actual experiments. I'd have to look up the name. I believe it was over in England in, like, the 70s. But people can, like, create their own entities, right? Yeah. That's more of, like, a PK energy type thing. So they went into a house that had no history. It was a new house. And people go in and they set the tone. Like, people who have fears of this, but then they're bringing in, like, storylines. Like, oh, somebody died here. Their name is so-and-so and whatever. And then they were able to start, like, catching activity and EVPs of, like, the names they sent. Like, you can create your own energies. And also, like, when you have fear, you're kind of, like, cracking that doorway and allowing whatever it is that's going to view you as vulnerable to come in. Like, when your mind starts to go, you snowball. It's a snowball effect is what we call it. And typically that's what happens in, like, 95% of cases. If the paranormal, most of it is somebody's, there's something going on lately. Something traumatic happened. Something, you know, dramatic happened, whatever it is, but usually there's some sort of, like, precursor that's causing, like, disrupt within a person's energy at that time. And then stuff starts happening, and then people get fearful, and it snowballs, you know, and then they want help. It's all, but a lot of it is mind. Like, you need to learn to not allow that fear, and typically that's what cuts it.
I think that word intent is crucial. I've come across that in so much research in spiritual beliefs and then also in the paranormal realm. I have to even, I catch myself reminding myself that if I am less scared in this moment, whatever's seemingly bothering me, wherever I am, usually it's at home when I'm alone. But I say that, you know, that really has been on my mind. I have to take back the ownership of that space and really focus on my fear lessening, because if I don't, then I think the word snowball is a great way, great way to put it. So thank you. That's an awesome, awesome viewpoint.
I use the term no mind, and actually Gary's the one who introduced me that to that term. And it really, like, at first I was like, what do you mean no mind? Like, how is that going to help me? You know, because I was experiencing, and it's funny because it's like, okay, I investigate, I understand this stuff. But, like, when it happens to you and you've got snowballing going on, it's like, what do you do? Like, it's, you know, but no mind has really helped me. And really how I interpret that is, like, when I experience the activity, mind needs to go blank. Like, do not pay attention to it. Let's do something else. Like, turn away from it. And honestly, that squashed it for me. So that may be something you can utilize, or anybody who's listening. But that was, like, a godsend. No mind.
That's amazing. That's excellent advice, because I know that, and I've talked about it in previous episodes, but I've worked with mediums because that there's that curiosity. It's like a double-edged sword. I'm so curious and fascinated, but the more I delve into it, the more fearful I become. And I always say to my guests, like, Tommy, I was like, you know, guests I've had before, you're so brave. Like, you guys are so brave for doing what you're doing, because I have always had that issue with that fear being crippling, like debilitating and crippling. And so I think this podcast, I know this podcast has really, really helped me. And then just hearing people that are, you know, you guys are going into these environments. We're in an environment right now that's haunted, that has activity. And I just really admire the attitude that you all have and, like, the level of just guts that the level of assurance that you have going into these, because I think that is, I think the energies, I know I would posit that the energies respond better to that and feel probably more willing to interact, or maybe if they're not more willing to interact, they're less willing to do something that might be disrespectful or negative, or whatever it might be. But I just think that's so awesome.
Yeah, it's really important that people understand that if you have a fear, a great fear of this, or a specific location, prior to even going in, you're going to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, so you're most likely to get the activity that you were fearful of.
Yeah.
Same with if you've had a bad day, if you just had a breakup during the day and you've been sobbing and then you have an investigation, don't do it.
Oh my God.
Abort mission. Like, don't do it because you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
And like the energies know that, you know, again, like, if there's any fear, just recoup and manage that before going in.
Oh, that's such great advice. There was an experience that I had at, I was managing properties, residential properties, so I was interacting with a lot of people in their very personal spaces, and a woman who had lost an animal went into a dark depression, and she started experiencing things because of that. It's okay. And it was just one of those situations where people in the building started reporting things, and then she was acting very, very out of character, not remembering any of these things she was doing, and she was claiming that there was an entity in her apartment, and I didn't know. I had come in after this all started, come into this property to work. I had transferred locations, and I just came in knowing there's a lady that thinks there's a ghost in her apartment. That's like really the whole building, setting off the whole building. Nobody told me until a few months in that it stemmed from a very dark place emotionally from her, and nothing had happened prior to that in that whole building, prior to in that apartment, whether it was her or not. And I just thought that was, I think about that when I find myself getting a little too scared for my own good, and I say, you know, if anything, that's just adding fuel to the fire. And it was just such a fascinating story to hear and see, and it was a really sad story because it really affected like a lot with what was happening with her, and it was a sad story, but just a great example of why you should take ownership of the space and like you said, kind of step back and reset and don't feed into it. So I think that's excellent advice.
Yeah, and that story you just told is a perfect example of PK energy.
And what is that? You said that earlier.
Yeah,
and I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
does it stand for
psychokinetic
something?
Energy?
Oh, okay.
We're all made of energy.
Yeah.
Right. That's what we are. We're energy. You can't. Okay. You cannot destroy energy. Right. That's just science. It is what it is. But when people are over-energized with negative energy, such as depression, traumatic things going on, whatever it is, people can actually create the activity that's going on. Like, it's coming from you.
It's
not an intelligent spirit or something that's there that's trying to take over. It's usually, like, your own self. Like, you can actually manifest and create your own entity off of your energy.
And that's what, like, poltergeist, a
correct.
Lot of poltergeist.
A lot of people will say, you know, we have a ghost in the house. It's a poltergeist.
It's so fascinating.
Usually, there's something traumatic going on. Always. And it's a snowball. And it's coming from you.
Mm-hmm. And they say poltergeist, well, I've talked about it a little bit prior, but for me, it's the kinetic activity that just scares me more than I think. If you see something move across a table in front of you and there's no one there to move it, or if you hear, one of the homes I lived in, there was running and footsteps just constantly, and just hearing that the weight of a body or the weight of someone's hand moving, seeing things move or hearing things clearly, it was that kinetic energy that really petrified me. And then the more I've done this podcast, the more people I've spoken to, more experts in the field, it's so interesting. I didn't know that before, that poltergeist was kinetic. That's so interesting that PK, kinetic, is what K means, and that's poltergeist, typical poltergeist activity, which I never knew meant it really comes from something or some traumatic situation or something going on with one or several of the people in that household.
Yeah.
Wow. So is there a bucket list place, whether it's like in the 518, in New York State, or like in the world, is there anywhere you just love to get your hands on to investigate? It could be like a private residence, or it could be like a famous castle. I always like to ask people who are on teams, on investigative teams.
I mean, I've investigated quite a few places just for fun, like the Conjuring House, Hinsdale, but I mean, they're all great, but I feel like you find the best activity in private residences. Yeah. Like, private residence, I absolutely love. So I gear towards that more than anything. I love helping people. I'm a nurse. Hello. Yeah. If I could go back to the house I grew up in, that would be it.
Yeah, for me, there's something scarier. I'm more attracted to private residences, too, because there's that level of sincerity and it's such a personal environment, whereas, like, something that's kind of more about the history and the lore, like I just did Beardsley Castle, and that's cool. It was a private residence, and for many years now it functions as a restaurant, but going into it as a business, it doesn't scare. I feel like I know I wouldn't be as scared to walk into, like, being in Barkeuter's right now. I'm not as nervous I don't think my expectations would be as high as if I stepped into a private residence, because there's that, like, level of sincerity that is, like, it's almost like it's like tugs at your heartstrings when you get activity in a place like that. It's so personal.
Right. And that always adds in heightened activity, right? PK, you know, or just personal, traumatic intelligence, whatever it may be. But like, we investigated a location, what was it, last winter in Albany?
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah. And a lot of it was PK for this poor man. Oh. But, like, they would come home and all their cabinets would be open.
Yeah.
Chairs would be turned upside down on the table. They'd have stuff thrown at them all the time.
Yeah.
But we were actually standing and talking with the clients when the floor lamp ripped out of the wall.
Whoa.
It, like, right in front of us. Like, that's like those are like once in a lifetime, like, aha moments, you know, where it's like, okay, I'm sorry. You know, you can't explain that away. Wow. Like, we just all watch that rip out of the door. We're like, say that happens all the time. It happens all the time to us.
Oh my goodness.
So I don't know. Yeah. For me, like, I think historically, you know, historic locations, they're always great for capturing good evidence, right? Like, you repeatedly go, you create a report with whatever's there. There's so much energy in those locations.
Yeah.
It's great for capturing things and really, like, scientifically looking at things and debunking things and challenging things, putting your own theories to use in those places. But the private residence, I feel like it's like a mixed bag. Like, you never know what you're walking into, and I love it.
That's such a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Rachel, do you have, if it isn't a private residence, or what, something that we've discussed, is there a place for you that you would love to get your hands on?
I definitely agree with Karin, the private residence, because that case was just mind-blowing.
Wow.
And, like, we had a spirit answer us out loud.
Whoa.
And, like, the REM pod go off in front of us, so we were just kind of like, okay, she's answering us right now. We heard a woman, just
like, straight AVP. AVP.
We were just, like, stunned. We were like, okay, that just happened. And, you know, like, we just, you know, she confirmed what we already suspected, that, like, he was the guy in the house was just angering the spirits inside because he just kept yelling at them and, like,
oh,
just,
my,
like,
God.
Pushing their buttons.
Right, and it was a mixed bag, again. Like, he had a lot of PK energy going on, so a lot of these things going on were stemming from him. And there was also intelligence on top of that going on in the house. But they were so, like, peaceful. Like, the feeling, the vibe, the interactions that we had with them, like, on a psychic level, were, like, really serene. And it was nice because that was a perfect investigation. Like, everything came together. We were able to figure out that, like, they were reacting because he was pointing the finger and, like, And by the time he left, everybody felt peaceful. Like, and the house was peaceful. Like, it was a perfect investigation.
Did you go into that investigation not knowing he was the one, or did you have did you go in and kind of tell his anxiety was
like up the roof? Like we could feel him as soon as we walked in, just like his energy. Wow. So.
And also, like, depending on what people tell you, when you're just screening them, you can usually guess. You know, you can't ever like say for sure until you go, because you know, you really never know. But usually you can get a feel for what's going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, would you, speaking of like getting a feeling and kind of being intuitive to that, touching base with kind of your instincts, would you like to share like the team? I always like to ask when you're on a team, like who is this team? Who are you? You shared your occupation. I love that. Like, who are your team members? What do you guys do? If you'd like to share it, are you intuitive? Are you sensitive? Kind of like, just tell me about yourselves and maybe any other team members. I know our listeners would love to hear that.
Well, for me, I'm a teacher. I teach first grade. So like a lot of the times when we go into these investigations, I pick up on the children first, or like Gilboa, the museum. Usually, like, the first thing I walk in, and it was a schoolhouse, so the children and the teachers normally, like, I already feel them in the room, but I'm very highly sensitive. I pick up on emotions and sometimes the physical feelings of people, so I will take on their physical, whatever they're feeling, and sometimes it drives Gary crazy because I'll bring it home with me. And just like with PK energy, I had to learn the hard way that I was causing some of the stuff in our apartment.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
So like he had to kind of, like, this took me probably a good year to try to control. So, but yeah, it was hard. But you know, so I'm just highly sensitive. And then we have Amy. She's
a nuclear physicist.
She's sick.
So, you know, again, it's so nice, like, and she's also a medium. It's nice to have that in a team, because I feel like a lot of times it's either like a medium coming to do a walkthrough and leaving, and then people investigating, whereas like our team is both, you know, and a lot of us are come from a scientific background, you know, and Rachel's a teacher, Gary's in environmental sciences, we have the nuclear physicist, we have a chef, we have me as a nurse. You know, so it's nice. It's nice. Everybody like can collaborate. Everybody pulls together, and we're able to look at things objectively. Probably to a fault.
Yeah.
Many
it's
times.
Like a good balance.
But yeah, like she'll get a lot of children. Wow. I've been in the ER for a long time, so a lot of times I get a lot of trauma. A lot of people who were like in accidents or like died in not so nice ways. I tend to get a lot of that.
Gary gets the grumpy men.
The men.
The, aggressive men.
Oh, my goodness.
But, like, Gary will try to, like, power trip them, so it's pretty funny. Or he'll, like, egg them on.
He's alpha. He's an alpha male. Yeah. So, like, a lot of times when he goes into a location, it's, like, the male energies will bump heads with him. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so funny because I didn't know before I started this podcast was talking to people in the community, people that are out there investigating, and I had a psychic medium on, and she told this story about how she went in there, and she has like fiery red hair, beautiful red hair, and the entity, the spirit, just did not like people with that color hair and female on top of it. She was getting called like targeted and getting called like very derogatory names, and I always think of like a spirit sees us as kind of all equal, like maybe we're intruding, maybe we're welcome, but I never thought of them having a personality and interacting with you, like you on such a personal level because of gender, because of maybe, you know, what you do for a living. And I just thought that was a hair color of all things, like so crazy. So I just think that's so fascinating. And that's why I always love to hear about the team kind of, you know, who you are and what you're doing both inside and outside of the investigations.
And I also just want to add, like, I think as females, as investigators, I think being an investigator and being a female, I think is a really good advantage, because I feel like we have a tendency to get a little bit more of the mixed bag activity. Whereas, like, for example, Gary being an alpha male, you know, female spirits might not be as geared towards him. He might not pick them up as much because they don't want to go towards his energy. They don't want that. But usually when we have females, like, we'll be able to get the children. You know, we'll get the females. And then you also get the male energies that like to intimidate the females. Yeah. So, like, I feel like it's a really big advantage being, like, a female in the paranormal world if you're looking for experience. But,
Oh, that's so interesting. Thank you so much for sharing all of this. I always like to ask, is there anything you want to plug, be it related to Tri-City Paranormal or anything you're doing, you know, any projects you have going on related to the paranormal, any Instagrams or anything like that, any social media? Is there anything you'd want to plug? Let our listeners know.
No, I mean, Tri-City has a Facebook. It's just Tri-City New York Paranormal Society.
Okay.
Usually that's pretty updated. We'll keep that updated with events, etc. Usually have lots of spirit circles, lots of lectures. We're doing another one this fall, August 13th.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Saturday at 7 p.m. Okay. Gary and I, are you going?
I think so.
And Rach will be lecturing at the Galway Firehouse on the paranormal.
Okay.
So if that's something that anybody's interested in, you can find information on the page. There's a link in there to grab tickets. It's a fundraiser for our team.
Wonderful.
So we have that coming up. We have tons of lectures coming up this fall. We do interactive events with people coming in, so you can just follow on that page.
Perfect.
We will have an Instagram coming soon.
Nice.
But... yeah.
Okay. I'll make sure I share all of that, the events. I'll post it on our social media so our visitors have easy access to grab tickets if that sounds like that's something they want to do, or if they're close to Galway or wherever you're, even the future ones. So that's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, ladies. I always just ask, is there anything else, just anything paranormal related, like, and you contributed, I just love that you said it, and I just really want to share, you know, being a woman in this field, is there anything else just before we wrap it up? There is a fireside discussion outside, so we'll head out there, and we'll have a few more interviews, hopefully, in this episode coming up, and some more information about Bark Eaters, but I just wanted to ask, is there anything else you want to share before we wrapped it up?
I think just a reminder to people in this field, I feel like a lot of people in this field tend to get a little carried away thinking that they know all. And I think it's important to be humble in this field, and it's important to remember that, like, there's really not much of anything that's scientifically proven. I don't believe that we've even begun to scratch the surface, you know? So just, like, keeping that fire with wanting to learn is, like, really what you need to have in this field.
I think that is absolutely excellent advice and a fantastic way to wrap it up. Rachel, is there anything else you wanted to add? I just always like to make sure I check.
That's pretty much about it.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much, and I will absolutely, hopefully this isn't the last time you'll be hearing from Karnan and Rachel and the Tri-City team, but tonight is a little bit short. It's short but sweet. Usually I give you guys the floor for much longer, and I'll have many other questions the next time we speak, so I just like to just stress that my Haunted 518 platform is there for any time you guys, if there's a topic, a specific place you just really want to talk about, if there is a topic you're really interested in that you just want to talk about, that's what the podcast is for. It's a platform for you guys. So thanks for so much for what you're for doing for the community, and thank you so much for your time tonight, and we're gonna go out there and enjoy the fire and some stories.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed my chat with the two ladies from Tri-City Paranormal. What a pleasure it was to be able to talk to them about, you know, why they do what they do, how they got interested in it, what experiences they've had, among so many other things. So really, really fascinating and awesome. So again, thank you so much to them for taking the time to speak with me. That was awesome. So lastly, I just wanted to share another little story I was able to record. After we chatted around the fireside, after I spoke with the team, the paranormal team, Tri-City Paranormal, I had the pleasure of going inside and spending some time inside the home, also around outside, around the perimeter a little bit. That was really cool to be able to get a feel. And during that time, a lot of people were talking and telling stories, and I was able to spend some time with Deb again, as well as other customers in the dining room, I believe it is, between the kitchen and the main area. There's a room there where the bathroom is off of, and the cellar, I believe, is off of as well. And she just told another really fascinating story, so I thought it would be great to just include this short little incident that happened at Bark Eater. And so again, I invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy.
So one morning, they were here working back here. And I came in through the back door, and I walked in. And now remember my reaction when I thought Melinda was here, and then I saw her and I was freaked out, or I didn't see her, and then she came in. So I walked in, and they're standing there like this. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? And the two of them look at each other. Oh, they're like in their 20s. Okay, these are guys who are not gonna admit to anything. And they are construction workers. So they look at each other, they side-eye each other, and then one of them's like, and they glance, and finally one goes, okay, is this place haunted? And I had to laugh, because at that point we've been here 2 years, and I said, it depends who you talk to, what happened. And he said, okay, like, we thought you were here already, because we heard footsteps upstairs, back and forth, pacing, and we heard voices. We thought you were on the phone. We couldn't make, and I said, what did I say? And he said, we couldn't make out your words, but we knew you were talking, and it was going on for a long time. And when you suddenly came in, we knew you weren't here. They were freaked out. Now, I did put him in the video, not his face, because he's now an NCO. Can't be videotaped, so he says. But he did give me his testimony, and it'll be on the video, his words, that it would sound like every time they were here in the morning, it would sound, and I've heard this from so many people, very busy when there was nobody here. Like, there's always a lot of activity and a lot of voices, always muffled, a lot of times a woman, but also a man talking to each other, but no words.
Well, that's it, fellow paranormal aficionados. I hope you enjoyed this very special episode of Haunted 518, where we got to go, not only got to focus on a specific location, but actually got to go there and spend time there, meet the proprietors and the awesome people that are honoring its history and lore and the people that came before them there, and as well as being able to meet Tri-City Paranormal and spend some time with them, pick their brains, and just really got to see what they do best. So thank you so incredibly much to Jim and Deb and Sarah Morris. You guys were just amazing. And be sure to check them out on their website. Order some chocolate. It is beyond delicious. And especially with the fall flavors coming up, those sound ridiculous. It's ridiculously good. So enjoy that. And thank you so very much to the entire Tri-City Paranormal team. And as always, happy haunting.